So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, the universal form, text number 43. Pitasya lokasya characharasya tvamasya pujas chagurar garyan netasamos yavavikakutanyo Loka-trayapya-pratima-prabhava Pitasi-lokasya-chara-charasya Tvamasya-pujas-chagurar-garyan Natasamosya-vibhikakutanyo Loka-trayapya-pratima-prabhava Pitasi-lokasya-chara-charasya Tvamasya-pujas-chagurar-garyan Etvatsamostyavikakakutanyo Lokatrebyapratimaprabhava Pitasya lokasicharacharasya Tvamasya pujaschagurargaryan Natatvamosyavikakutanyo Lokatrebyatpratimaprabhava Tvitasya lokasya characharasya Tvamasya pujasya gurargaryan Natasamosyavikakutanyo Lokatrebya pratima prabhava Pitasi lokasya characharasya Kranasya pujas chagurar garyan Natasamosyavikakutanyo Loka-trayapya-pratima-prabhava Ladies. Pitasi-lokasya-chara-charasya Tvamasya-pujas-chagurar-garyan Natasamosya-gvati-katkutonyo Lokatrebyat-pratima-prabhava Pitasi-lokasya-chara-charasya Tvamasya-pujas-chagurar-garyan Natasamosya-vikakutanyo Lokatrebyat-pratima-prabhava Pita, the Father, I see you are Lokasya of all the world, Chara moving, Acharasya and non-moving. Tvam, you are Asa of this, Puja worshipable, Cha also. Guru, Master, Garyan, Glorious, Na, Never, Tvat Sama, Equal to you, Asti, There is, Abhyadika, Greater, Kudaha, How is it possible, Anya, Other, Loka Traye, in the three planetary systems. Api, also, Apratima, Prabhava, O immeasurable power. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipful chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? Please repeat. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is worshipable as a father is worshipable for his son. He is the spiritual master because he originally gave the Vedic instructions to Brahma. And presently, he is also instructing Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Therefore, he is the original spiritual master, and any bona fide spiritual master at the present moment must be a descendant in the line of disciple succession stemming from Krishna. Without being a representative of Krishna, one cannot become a teacher or a spiritual master of transcendental subject matter. The Lord is being paid obeisances in all respects. He is of immeasurable greatness. No one can be greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, because no one is equal to or higher than Krishna within any manifestation, spiritual or material. Everyone is below him. No one can excel him. This is stated in the Svetasutara Svetasutara Upanishad. Natasya karyam karanam chavidyate. Natatsamas chavidikas chajishite. The Supreme Lord Krishna has senses and a body like the ordinary man. But for him there is no difference between his senses, his body, and his mind and himself. Foolish persons who do not perfectly know him say that Krishna is different from his soul, mind, heart, and everything else. Krishna is absolute, therefore his activities and potencies are supreme. It is also stated that although he does not have senses like ours, he can perform all sensory activities. Therefore his senses are neither imperfect nor limited. No one can be greater than him, no one can be equal to him, and everyone is lower than him. The knowledge, strength, and activities of the Supreme Personality are all transcendental, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham panarjanma naitivam eti sorjana. Whoever knows Krishna's transcendental body, activities, and perfection, after quitting his body returns to him and doesn't come back again to this miserable world. Therefore, one should know that Krishna's activities are different from others. The best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna. That will make one perfect. It's also stated that there is no one who is the master of Krishna. Everyone is his servant. The Chaitanya Charitamrita confirms Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sava Britya. Only Krishna is God and everyone else is his servant. Everyone is complying with his order. There is no one who can deny his order. Everyone is acting according to his direction, being under his superintendence. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, he is the cause of all causes. So the text again. Pitasya lokasya characharasya tvam asya pujasta gurur garyan etatsamosya vikakutonyo loka traipya pratima prabhava. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipful chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How can there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, we've probably heard that before, but to actually be convinced that Krishna is God takes a lot of practice. That is practice of devotional service. The whole material world is an attempt to forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we look around, we'll find that most people actually don't even know who Krishna is, what to speak of thinking that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Probably 99.99% of the people, even in India, they think Krishna was a cowherd boy, an ordinary from some aborigine cowherd boy from some village in India. And even if they think that he has something to do with something spiritual, generally they're impersonalists. They think that Krishna is just one of the many alternatives we have to worship. You can worship Krishna, no problem. You can also worship Ganesh and Shiva and Durga. And you can worship your bedpost if you want to. They think you worship anything you want, and at the end you become everything. But they like Krishna because Krishna seems to be a normal god, or whatever he might be, because he danced with all these ladies, so he's acceptable. Besides that, he did things like kill demons so that many nice stories can be read to the children before you go to sleep. They go to sleep. He also stole butter. So he has all good tendencies that people normally have. He's a thief. He's a woman hunter. He's a murderer. His parents were criminals. He took birth in a jail. In this way, people find Krishna rather interesting. And when they, Prabhupada went around the world and made Westerners or people from other countries into devotees of Krishna, people were very surprised. They thought Krishna was just some Indian hero from way back. They couldn't imagine why anyone else would even take him seriously. Because they themselves don't take it very seriously, generally speaking. They think it's just some quaint philosophy from some person called Vyasadeva. But here Krishna stresses over and over again that he's not some kind of made up idol from India that people worship, that he's the person who's as in the verses, Vayuryam Agnira Varuna Shashanka Prajapatis Twam Pratita Mahascha Namo Namaste Sahasrakritva Punastha Bhuyopi Namo Namaste. That he is Vayur, the air, Vayuryam Agnira, he's the fire, he's Yamaraj, he's the great-grandfather, that he's everything. But of course, for our tiny brains to consider that someone could be everything, it just doesn't make sense. Everyone is just struggling to become something in this world, and to think that there's someone who's everything is just, it's almost like it's unfair. Why did he get to become everything and we're practically nothing? This is undemocratic. And Vyasadeva said, no, don't try to criticize Krishna. He was just born that way. He came from good parents, actually. But actually, Krishna is eternally the Bhagavan with unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited fame, unlimited knowledge, unlimited renunciation. And of course, if we read Bhagavad Gita, this is a very consistent philosophy. It's not that Krishna is embarrassed. Sorry, I said I was God. I got a little carried away. I should be more humble, I know, but you know. Not everyone's perfect. I've been working on it for a long time. It's hard being God, so you have to forgive me. No, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is quite consistent. I'm God, and whether you like it or not, you're not God. Sorry. That's just the way things are. Even though I want to, I wouldn't change it. And our whole perfection of life is not to become famous or strong or live a long time or to become someone appreciated by others. Our whole perfection will be just to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's all. That may come as a surprise to most people who are working on higher education, on getting more personal influence, or getting some kind of security in this world, how to make friendships with others, etc., to find out that a whole perfection in life, our whole advancement, is just to accept Krishna as God. Which really comes down to, in this age, just to chant Hare Krishna, and actually want to engage in Krishna's service. Not, I gotta chant Hare Krishna, I said I was gonna chant, so I'll chant Hare Krishna. Not to actually call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage in their loving service. Not only to chant, which is they asked us to do, but to actually chant with some kind of feeling. At least wanting to have some kind of feeling in relation to Krishna. And at the same time, to hear Krishna's instructions, like, for instance, the fact that Krishna wants us to tell others that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we become convinced, like Srila Prabhupada was convinced, he didn't find it a great effort to tell everyone. We can see when Srila Prabhupada was even talking to a reporter, then he told, it was like he was preaching to the reporter. It wasn't some official interview that Prabhupada was doing. He was actually concerned that even the reporter would actually understand that Krishna is God, and that the reporter also was Krishna's eternal servant. It wasn't that we have our little sect called the Hare Krishna movement, and we happen to belong to a sect because, you know, we're just failures in the material life. And so we decided to join the Hare Krishna movement so we can associate with other failures. Dropouts out of normal society. And therefore, we found some unusual personality called Krishna from some aborigine tribe in some remote part of India, where Krishna used to live in this village, which is like overrun by monkeys and pigs and all kinds of other crazy people running around, throwing colors at each other and doing all kinds of weird things. So we happened to join that because we're just a bunch of crazy people who couldn't make it in the material world. So to understand that actually Krishna is God and that he's everyone's God, and it's not that someone is, you know, someone is normal and there's happened to be confronted with a bunch of abnormal Hare Krishnas. No, that's actually not true. Actually, everyone is Krishna's eternal servant, and this philosophy applies to everyone. That either we accept that we're spiritual beings, and that the supreme spiritual person is Krishna, and that our duty is to chant Hare Krishna in this age, and to tell others about Krishna, or we remain in the material conception of life, struggling, especially in this age, working ever more, harder, longer hours, and getting ever less. Simply to struggle to maintain this body, and even the big, big millionaires and billionaires who are exploiting everyone, they wind up in the same place. They become just as dead as everyone else. It's not that if I die rich, then I die in a different way than if I was poor. I die a rich death rather than a poor one. Or if I work hard, I die a healthy death. No, everyone winds up equally out of this body and into their next life according to the karma. Maya is an equal opportunity employer. She is engaging everyone equally without any discrimination. And the only alternative from being engaged in Maya is to be engaged in Krishna's service, which is rather simple. But to actually accept that Krishna is God takes a lot of knowledge and renunciation. Renunciation of the material concept of life, that my particular material situation is very significant. And that somehow or another, by some endeavor, study, work, whatever, I can become significant in this world. And by becoming significant in this world, somehow or another, I get some kind of advantage. But actually, everyone is disadvantaged in this material world unless they actually become aware of Krishna and dedicate whatever they're doing in Krishna's service. Otherwise, it's Shrama, Eva, Hi Kevalam. Everyone is just wasting their time. They may be progressing materially, they may be in a very unfortunate material circumstance, but everyone is equally unfortunate in the material world if they're not in Krishna consciousness or endeavoring to become Krishna conscious. So this is stressed over and over again in Bhagavad Gita. There's no other message. There's nothing to come, just like we can see, Prabhupada was very simple and straightforward in his presentation. It's not like there's some esoteric message that we don't know, you know, that we'll find out about when we become qualified. No, of course there are subtler parts to the philosophy, because on the spiritual platform it's beyond even the false ego. It's the most subtle, pure spiritual energy. But it's simply the same principles. Here Krishna is God, and we go back to the spiritual world, he's equally God. We're equally spiritual beings there, and we're equally spiritual beings here. The only difference is that here we're confused, and therefore we're worshipping a dead body, and there we worship Krishna. Or here we can worship Krishna. And here we can also equally become enamored by our present material circumstance and think it's something very significant, rather than something which is can be utilized properly and therefore make our lives meaningful, at least meaningful to ourselves, if not to others. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
How is it possible to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead if you are conditioned? Can a conditioned mind understand something supreme?
No, only if Krishna reveals himself to us. I mean, how can we understand how bright the sun is when we're in the darkness? Only when the sun rises in the morning, then we can see it very easily. So when Krishna is pleased by our service attitude, then he reveals himself, then everything is very simple. So it's not a question of our prowess or our ability. We have no ability or prowess outside of whatever Krishna gives us. But when we want to, our only merit is when we want to do something to please Krishna. Just that attitude in itself makes us qualified in Krishna's eyes. There's nothing else we can do to become qualified other than try to please Krishna by trying to find out what he wants us to do and then to actually do it with the idea that we're doing it because that will make him happy. So if that's the principle, then devotional service becomes very simple and everything else becomes very complicated. We can memorize millions of verses. We can do so much service, distribute trillions of books, make everyone else into a devotee. But if we ourselves aren't doing it to please Krishna, not doing it according to the instructions of his representatives, he and his representatives, then we might be the only one left in the material world. I doubt it, though. Misery loves company. There'll be plenty of people stick around with us here. Anything else? Yes.
So, sometimes I just notice for myself when I'm doing service, I sometimes don't have this meditation. I'm breathing. I just do the needful. So then sometimes I wonder because when you get Adi Purusha Prabhu here, I'm realizing now that I'm not conscious when I'm doing my service. And Adi Purusha Prabhu mentioned is if you don't have this desire that you're doing some this meditation, that you're doing something to please Krishna, then it's not really bhakti. So now I'm wondering, is it this and the other Sukriti?
Yeah, of course. It is bhakti, but it's not pure bhakti. Because we're in the, just like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, well, one knows that the goal is Krishna, but one is addicted to the results of his activities, he's said to be acting in karma yoga. And one knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, he's said to be acting in jnana yoga. And one knows that the goal is Krishna and seeks Krishna completely in pure consciousness, then he's said to be acting in buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga. So there's Mishra Bhakti and there's pure bhakti. So we're trying to come to the platform of pure bhakti by acting in pure bhakti. So rather than lament, oh, I don't think about Krishna, I don't think about Krishna. So then think about Krishna. There's nothing to lament about, there's simply something to become aware of the fact that we're doing things without Krishna. So Krishna has made it possible through this knowledge and through the chanting to actually remember Krishna. And simply by trying to do that, when Krishna is pleased, then he'll simply reveal himself to me. And then I'll know why I'm doing it. Now, because we haven't been so sincere, sincerity is something that has to be developed. Therefore, Krishna hasn't revealed that much to us. Therefore, naturally, we're not addicted to Krishna because we don't know what Krishna is like. But when we add this to it, when we become aware of the fact that we're not very conscious of Krishna and develop a little desire to attain him, then he'll reciprocate. And most part of our philosophy is simply to discourage us from all our material objectives. Because we don't want to be discouraged from our material objectives sometimes. And therefore it sounds rather harsh. And just being discouraged from material objectives is not sufficient. We have to be encouraged to make Krishna as our objective. So there is a twofold. One is the background is knowledge of our spiritual nature, knowledge of the miseries of material existence, and then the renunciation of the material concept of life and the acceptance of the spiritual concept of life. And then we have to learn how to work in consciousness of Krishna, finding out what Krishna wants us to do and doing it to please Him, doing it away with care and attention, that if God was, we were actually serving God, we'd do it very nicely. And then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Then as he sees, we're trying to be consistent and enthusiastic in our service, and he gives us intelligence how to become more enthusiastic and consistent in our service. And gradually he takes away the impediments from our heart, namely lust, anger, and greed, by revealing himself to us. Yes?
Is enthusiasm an emotion that you get?
It would be nice if we just turned on our enthusiasm. There was a little switch. The Prabhupada defines enthusiasm as activities performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. It's called enthusiasm. So we need our intelligence, we need our consciousness of Krishna, and we combine them together, then we'll get enthusiasm. It involves determination. Well, it involves a number of things. Patience is the foundation. The understanding that we're eternal. And therefore, without realizing that we're eternal or understanding it, it's very impossible to be enthusiastic about spiritual activities. Because this body is temporary, and everything we're doing will be lost, the results of it. Besides that, the material world has different miseries that we have to face. So how can we base our enthusiasm on something spiritual, unless we're realizing that we're eternal, at least understanding it? For the materialist, his enthusiasm is based upon his final goal, which is sense gratification, that by working hard he'll be able to eat better, sleep better, have more sex, and feel more secure. But we don't get that advantage. So therefore our patience has to be based upon something transcendental. Then, when we work in a transcendental consciousness, and we realize Krishna reveals himself and gives us intelligence and realization, then we become confident that we're doing the right thing. And when we're actually confident, we have knowledge, then we can act in Krishna consciousness with intelligence. And then as we do that, Krishna reveals himself more, and then we feel the transcendental bliss and the purification and the awakening of transcendental realizations, and then we become more enthusiastic. Ultimately, in the spiritual world, everyone remains enthusiastic because of the loving exchange with Krishna. The more they try to please Krishna, the more Krishna is pleased, then the more they become happy. And the more they become happy, then the more Krishna becomes happy. And the more Krishna becomes happy, the more they become happy. So there's simply a competition in the spiritual world who can become happier by seeing the other person's happiness. Yes?
Yes, sir. Nobody else is raising
it. No, someone else raised their hand, didn't they? Anyone else have a question? Yes.
I forgot the first one, but I heard the one. So enthusiasm is, it's on our part, or it's
on our... We do what's necessary. Of course, you know, as Prabhupada said, if you don't feel like jumping or dancing, then dance anyhow, and then you'll feel like dancing. So that's intelligence. We have to do the things that will produce enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. So there are things that we can do to generate enthusiasm. We can act enthusiastic, but that in itself will not be very stable unless we're actually doing it for Krishna and what Krishna wants us to do. So we have to use our intelligence to find out what Krishna wants us to do and doing it to please Krishna in Krishna consciousness, remembering Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, pastimes. So we can't, and to do that we chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. And then naturally the name, form, quality, and pastimes will be revealed to us spontaneously. So we use our intelligence to find out what's the right thing to do and how to do it properly so that we become conscious of Krishna. And then when we become conscious of Krishna, then we'll become very enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness because Krishna is unlimitedly full of bliss and unlimitedly full of awakening of awareness. So unless we do the things that are necessary for Krishna to reveal himself, he won't reveal himself. But if Krishna reveals himself, then we get the perfection of all our activities. Then we'll normally, naturally become enthusiastic. Just like you don't have to convince a spark when it's in the fire to glow. It just naturally glows because it's in the fire. And if you tell a spark outside the fire, you should glow more, because after all, you're fire, you're supposed to be glowing. It can't do anything. It has to be in the fire in order to glow. Doesn't matter how many books the spark reads about glowing. It's not going to get anywhere unless it gets into the fire. But once it's into the fire, then naturally it'll glow. Anything else? Yes.
You were mentioning that Krishna reveals himself, God, he reveals his form, qualities, pastimes, and so forth. So sometimes I was told by some devotees that there's a misconception that we think that when you get initiated and you start seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, and then all sorts of mystical experiences, spiritual experiences is happening. Something that you never ever experienced before joining the Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, it's another crazy thing that goes on.
But from the descriptions, one could get the impression, like you were saying, Krishna reveals himself. So sometimes, I mean, at least I'm thinking, I'm wondering, if such things don't happen to me, does that mean I'm less Krishna conscious, or does it mean I'm not doing something right? Should I have such mystical revelations every day? Or does that happen when you really advance? How does that happen?
Yeah, when you get up to the Prema platform, or the Bhava platform, right now we're trying to become onto the Anartha Nivritti platform, or Bhajana Kriya. So to expect to get up and have some mystic experience, you come to the wrong place. Better go up into the Himalayas and find some herbs there and smoke them. You have a better chance. But you're not going to get a whole lot of mystic experiences here, unless you're crazy. Unless you took a little bit too many LSD trips, and then everything is a mystic experience. But here, we're just trying to become stable here. Krishna says, one who's conquered the mind, one should elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. And then he says, Trividam narakasyedam, dwaram nashtam atmanaha, kama krodha sita lobas tasmat etam trayam tyajat. There are three gates leading to hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should become free from these three enemies which lead to the degradation of the self. So we're just trying to get free from lust and anger and greed. That's mystical. And become absorbed in a service attitude. But because we're impatient, we think that, you know, Krishna should come before me dancing because I've been in the Hare Krishna movement for 6 months already. And I surrendered everything. So otherwise, what did I come here for if Krishna is not, you know, willing to surrender and reveal himself to me? 7 or 8 months, maybe I'll last that long. But otherwise, because we're impatient. Therefore, we don't actually understand very clearly what we're trying to achieve and the process of trying to achieve it. Yes.
You said that to accept Krishna as God is the perfection of life. What does it mean to accept Krishna as God?
You find out what his instructions are, so much so that at every moment you know exactly what Krishna wants you to do, and you know exactly how to do it. Become Krishna's instrument. So we're only acting for Krishna to please him, and that's the perfection of life. Then, if one, as much as one does that, to that extent, Krishna reveals himself. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So everything depends upon our consistency and our sincerity in trying to engage in Krishna's service. So, there are 9 processes of devotional service. So if we're hearing about Krishna, we're chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, we're serving Krishna, we're making friends with Krishna, etc. Then the result is we're engaged in Krishna's service. And the more we do that simply to please Krishna, then the more we make advancement. Yes?
Krishna, I want to ask about the last thoughts when we are in the deathbed. I mean, when we are dying, that's I was thinking about the Jamila when he is in Narayan, because before becoming for him, with these Yamadutas, when you mentioned that Krishna reveals himself, it really depends, it's like that, my question is, it really depends on me take effort, pray for guidance, intelligence, but the last thing Krishna
Well, the point is, whatever we've developed at our consciousness, that's what we'll think of at the time of leaving the body. It's not like if by accident we happen to think of Krishna, then we go back to the spiritual world. And if not, then we go someplace else. No, it's a development. For one who's come to an elevated platform of being able to remember Krishna all the time, then he has a much better chance of remembering Krishna at the time of death, obviously, than one who only remembers Krishna sporadically. And we can see that those who went back to Godhead, according to the Krishna book, for instance, the gopis, they came, the minimum qualification was bhava. That was like the lower qualification. Most of them were either nitya-siddha devotees, which means that there was no even material conception for them. They were in their spirit, they were living as spiritual beings. Or they had elevated themselves to that platform by practice, such as the Rishichari gopis and the Munichari gopis. But there were some who were just not as qualified. They were simply at the platform of bhava when they joined Krishna's pastimes. But bhava is inconceivably advanced, because even the state of asakti, at the state of asakti, when the mind wanders even for a moment away from Krishna, it quickly comes back. And asakti is one drop in the ocean of bhava. So in bhava, one's actual feelings are awakened towards Krishna. One is actually in love with Krishna. And Krishna is actually revealing himself. His flute, one can hear his flute. His heart melts out of affection for Krishna. So that's the stage that comes after Sakti. So we can try to remember Krishna at the time of death, and certainly that would be a great qualification for us continuing the path in devotional service in a more favorable way in our next lifetime. But to expect to go back to Godhead, you know, when we're actually just struggling to come to the platform of Anartha Nivritti, is not exactly the way things will work. Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says, generally devotional service is a continuum over many lifetimes. But of course we're impatient. We think, well, my God, I got to wait another lifetime. I can't wait that long. Might as well quit. It's either now or never. Because we can't conceive of so long. Of course, and as I said, in 1 second of Brahma, we go through 1,000 lifetimes if we live that long, 96 years each lifetime. We go through 1,000 such lifetimes. So it takes a while to develop pure devotional service. But if we try to do it, then gradually we'll come to the perfectional stage. And if we think, well, that takes too long, I might as well quit. Might as well merge into Kali Yuga and, maybe in Satya Yuga I'll take it up again. Not a good idea. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.